Amen. Good evening. Welcome to the service of the Harvest Baptist Temple. It's good to see each and every one of you here. Let's stand together and let's sing the song Through It All. Time. First Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7 says, "The trial of your faith is much more precious than gold." And we think about the trials and the difficulties and the troubles that come into our lives. And really, through it all, we can learn to trust in God. We can learn to depend upon His word. And can we sing it one more time? And just as we sing, think about depending on Him through the good and the bad times. Trust in God through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You so much for this day. Thank You so much for Your goodness to us. Lord, thank You so much that we can come to You. Lord, we can cast our burdens aside and take Your yoke upon us. For it is easy and Your burden is light. And Lord, I pray that You will help us to be able to realize that at all times. I pray that You be with the service this evening. Lord, I pray that, Lord, everything that is said and done will be lifting up and glorifying to Your name. Lord, I pray, Lord, that Your Spirit will move among us this evening. And Lord, that we will draw closer to You before we leave. And Lord, I do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good evening, beloved. Amen. As you're turning to hymn number 684, I want to take just a moment and brag on the junior high boys team. Boy, they had an awesome year. They finished 15-7, and we came one possession away from making the final four. So we really did good, and the team we lost to the championship team in overtime. So I really felt, boy, we left a lot on the floor there, but the boys, they played so good, and I was so proud of them, and it was an awesome year. And with COVID and everything going on, I wasn't even sure we'd have a season. And it turned out we didn't lose any games at all. And all the players were safe. And we put a lot of miles on, but I just praise God for that. So thank you for your prayers and your support for the school. It really means a lot. Let's sing out to the best of our ability, Footsteps of Jesus.
Sweetly, Lord, have we heard Thee calling, come, follow me. And we see where Thy footprints falling lead us to Thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Though they lead o'er the cold, dark mountain seek in His sheep, or along by Siloam's fountain helping the weak. And it's footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er we go. If they lead through the temple holy, preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and lowly, saving the Lord. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go.
On the last,
then at last when on high he sees us our journey done, we will rest steps of Jesus and at his throne. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will steps of Jesus where'er they go.
We're going to sing 448, I'll Tell the World I'm a Christian. Did anybody else remember that song, Footsteps of Jesus? Did they change that from footprints to footsteps? Has it always been footprints? I kept wanting to say footsteps. Okay, you're all looking at me weird, so it must always be footprints. We'll just go with it. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian.
I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed to bear his name. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'll take him with me anywhere. Tell the world that he's my Savior. No other one could love me so. And this is forever. And where he leads me, I'll go. I'll tell the world that he is coming. It may be near or far away, but we must live as if his coming would be tomorrow or today. For when he comes and life is over, for those who love him, there's more to be. Eyes have never seen the wonders that he's preparing for you and me. I'll tell the world that he's my Savior. No other one could love me so. I'll take him with me everywhere.
You guys are so forgiving, I love it. Hymn number 753, Jesus is coming again. Even when I sing the first verse twice.
Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King. Jesus is coming again, and he's coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, it may be soon, and we're coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. Forest and flowers exclaim, mountain and meadow the same. All earth and heaven proclaim, Jesus is coming again. Coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, it may be soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming. Standing before him at last, trial and trouble all past, crowns at his feet we will pass. Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, it may be soon. Jesus is coming again.
Beautiful job, beloved. You may be seated.
Amen. Amen. Jesus is coming again. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. At this time, we're going to go ahead and have our mission spotlight for the evening. This evening's mission spotlight is the Brim family, and you might remember them. I actually spotlighted them in December, early December, and I usually try to wait a while before I bring them up again, but I just really wanted to share this letter from them. And they say this: greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank him for his watchful care and protection, allowing us to start a new year. We would like to share some of God's blessings on our ministry here in northeast Brazil. It says, we are blessed to see 4 souls saved these last 3 months. It is interesting to see how the Lord works. So, also, someone who we have known for years and has heard the gospel many times from us and other members of our church, but had always said he was not ready, on Monday in front of our house, prayed and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to save him. Amen. Marcos and Adrian are people who were brought to church by friends and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ through their testimony. And then another person started to come to our church through calling a wrong number. His wife called a pastor in our state capital by mistake, but instead of hanging up on her, he talked to her about the Lord and found out that she lived in their town and gave her number to him. And after many phone calls and messages through social media and much prayer, he and his wife began to visit their services. And they praised the Lord that last Thursday night, he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Our Lord certainly does work in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. We covet your prayers for these new converts, that they would become faithful in God's house and grow up in the things of our Lord as they are discipled. They also say this about their second church that they started. It says the congregation in Hakapi, something like that. I can't read other languages. I can't. You should know that by now. It says, our second church has started their new building. This has been a long process to get the building permit. To get the building permit alone, it took 2 years. But we thank the Lord that the work on the foundation has started. And they ask us to pray for that and just be in prayer that God would allow that to continue and that nothing would come up. And I'd like to just take this time to pray for the Brim family and ask the Lord to continue to bless their ministry and pray that God will allow these 4 new Christians, new believers in Christ to grow, and also pray for this church that they'd be able to continue building and there'd be no issues with the church building. Can we go together in prayer right now for this? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this evening. Thank you so much for allowing our church to have a missions program. Lord, thank you so much for the burden you've given to our church for missions. Lord, I do pray that, Lord, you will allow us to continue to build that, to continue to build on it, continue to move forward. Lord, I pray, we do pray right now for the Brim family. Thank you so much for allowing us to partner with them. Lord, I pray that you will just do a mighty work in their lives, continue to use them, and Lord, I pray you help them to remain faithful. Lord, I pray for the new converts that they had. I pray that, Lord, you allow them to, Lord, get connected in the church, Lord, and be able to grow and be discipled in you. And Lord, I pray that you will bless and guide in their relationship, allow them to be around the right people, Lord, and also be able to be in church, Lord. And we do pray for the second church plant that they had. Lord, I pray that you will continue to bless. Lord, thank you so much for your moving and allowing them to start building the church building there. I pray, Lord, that you will, Lord, allow it to go continue to be built. Lord, allow there to be nothing that gets in the way of it. Lord, I pray that you allow it to be built quickly, Lord, and inexpensively. Lord, I pray that just through this permanent church building they have, Lord, you allow the gospel to go forth to more and more people. And Lord, I pray that more and more people will trust you as their Savior because of it. And Lord, we do thank you again just so much for allowing us to come to you, allowing us to bring your burdens before you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And again, I want to thank you just for your faithfulness to our missions program and just encourage you again as the Lord leads you to give to missions. We do have something else coming up that has to do with the gospel. And I'm extremely, extremely excited about it because in just a couple weeks, on March 17th, we are going to be starting back up our door-to-door visitation. And so I'm extremely excited about it. We have ordered 5,000 door hangers. We've ordered 5,000. That's enough to go ahead and put a door hanger on every single door in Clyde, every single door in Green Springs, and we've got out. We blocked off a chunk of Fremont to be able to put to start putting a door hanger on every house in Fremont. And so we're looking to do a lot this year. And I just ask you to be in prayer and just be in prayer about how God would allow you to be a participant of this. We're going to have maps where you can take that will give you streets to go and go ahead and put the door hanger on every single one. And we ask, and the door hangers are really cool. On the front of it says, we've prayed for you and we are here to help. And so first off, we need to make sure we do that. We need to make sure we're praying for our community. Yes, you wonder, what's the best thing we can do for our community? Pray for it. We need to pray for our community. But then make sure that we put the gospel. I can't wait to see what God's going to do through this. I know that God's going to do so much. But here's the thing. You don't have to wait for the door hangers to hand out the gospel. We've got many, many gospel tracts and invitations right here. We got one that says, Finding the Way to Eternal Life, a great one that has some great illustrations on the back. We've got a brand new one that says, Need Help Navigating Through Difficult Times. I think a really good one for this time. One that I like, if you ever go out to eat or go through the drive-thru anywhere, Paid in Full. Just gives a good gospel presentation there and says, your debt, God's payment. And just many other ones. We even got this holiday coming up. I don't know if you know what it is, but it's called Easter. It's 1 month away. And so we got these tracts out there. I encourage you, take them now. Start handing them out. Start inviting people to our Easter service. And then also, everybody needs a home. And we've got, I don't know if you know this, we have a radio station. And we have 3 different tracts that you can hand out for our radio station. 1 for 90.5 FM and even 2 for our website. And so I encourage you, take them, hand them out, give them when you go through a drive-through, when you go through the grocery, give them to your neighbors, give them to your friends, give them to your family. But let's make sure that as a church that we give out the gospel. So I'd encourage you to pray how the Lord would allow you to participate. And my challenge, I would challenge everyone once a month. I'll challenge everyone once a month, go out, take a map, and start putting door knockers or door hangers on the doors. I think if we can, if our church, entire church did that, we can knock out Clyde within probably a week. And so I think that'd be great. All right, so I appreciate it, and just be in prayer for the soul winning and be in prayer for our missions program.
Amen. I'm excited about that, church. How about you?
Amen.
You know, and the great thing about this is God's word doesn't return void.
That's right.
You with me?
God's word doesn't return void. Can I tell you a cool story? So I had the opportunity yesterday, sometime while I was gone, to talk with Gino for a little while. He and Wade are actually up in Fairbanks, Alaska, putting in a radio station up there, so pray for them. They got a lot of work ahead of them and only a few days to do it, but that seems to be how it goes. He shared just an incredible story, a testimony of a lady in Austin that his wife, that Benita, had loved on and ministered to for many, many, many years. Many, many messages, many, many phone calls, many, many, hey, let's grab a cup of coffee, many, many text messages, all sorts of things. And he said that the lady that Benita had ministered to over the last month, 2 months, had come in contact with another lady who needed encouraged. So you know what she did? She took the text messages that Benita had sent her, and she in turn sent them to this other lady, which began a conversation, which ended with this other lady praying and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. You know, church, we just got to be faithful to give it. We just got to be faithful to give it. And God will do his work through his word. Amen. Amen. And that was an encouragement to my heart. And you continue to pray for our missionaries. Pray for the Sharp family. That God would continue to just lead and give comfort, give strength, give wisdom. And I'm excited about all that he has for both our missionaries around the world and for us here locally. Thank you for your prayers as I was gone this last week. We rolled in about 4:30 this afternoon. And so we are fresh off the plane, but raring and ready to go. Hopefully in the coming weeks we'll be able to just kind of give you some of the good things that God has done and God is doing. But it was a profitable trip, and we praise the Lord for that. A couple of announcements for the church. Krispy Kreme fundraiser is taking place now. So if you want to get in on the Krispy Kreme, this, of course, helps our young people to be able to go to camp this summer. One of the big fundraisers that we do. I would encourage you, see a young person from our youth group or see Brother Utley. Get you some donuts ordered, and it's through this Sunday, it looks like. So time is of the essence. I ordered personally 6 dozen donuts, and so I made sure we were covered, and I'll probably be 600 pounds when it's all done. But, you know, it's for a good cause. That's what I keep telling myself. It's for a good cause. So whether you're here in person, watching by way of Facebook radio, get yourself some Krispy Kreme donuts. See one of our teenagers or brother Utley for that. New members class does start this Sunday evening. We got a great class ahead of us. Looks like about 8 people, I think, so far signed up. If you have any questions or you would like to attend, see me or Frank Wiesner. Again, we want to remind everybody about the Awana Grand Prix. Cars are available. And then we have a work day on Saturday the 13th. And we also have the event, the Grand Prix, will be on Saturday, March the 20th. And then, boy, time rolls right along, doesn't it? Spring Share-a-thon. Spring Share-a-thon, March the 22nd through the 27th. Of course, more details to come, but questions about how we can go ahead and get signed up and get the ball rolling, you see Brother David Weirich, and he will be happy to get you set up to help. It's hard to believe Easter is 1 month from tomorrow. And by the time we get to Easter, Spring Share-a-thon will already be done. Anybody else having a hard time believing that? Time just rolls along, doesn't it? But praise the Lord for all the opportunities we have to be a part of his work here at Harvest. I ask if you would, that you would join me now in a word of prayer as we ask the Lord to bless all of the tithes and the offerings that are given to his work. Shall we pray? Father, we love you and we thank you for, Father, just the day that you've given us, another day of life. Father, another opportunity to taste and see that the Lord is good. Another opportunity to rejoice because this is the day that you have made. Another opportunity to show the world an answer for the hope that lies within us. Father, thank you for this opportunity we have today as your people to love and serve you. Father, I pray that as we, Father, come, that you would be honored by everything that we do. Specifically now we ask you would be glorified through the giving, the tithes and the offerings that we bring tonight. Father, that our earthly treasure could be used to make an eternal impact. Lord, we ask that you would do this for your honor and your glory alone. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen.
This time we're going to go ahead and have our prayer time. But before we have our prayer time, I just want to take some time and see if we have any praise. And specifically, do we have anyone who could say, I want to praise the Lord for how God has provided something for you? And so I'm going to give you just a moment to think about that, because I'm going to share just how, just in the recent three months, how God has really provided for my family. If you're not aware, we had a baby about 3 months ago, and Kobe's doing great and growing like a weed. If weeds grew like he did, I'm telling you, I think he grows faster. But obviously, when Kayla had the baby, she was off work for a while, and just looking at the finances, we knew that we were going to have to be very frugal, and things were going to be tight, and so we were just getting ready for things to be really tight, and trying to make sure that we had enough to get through, and seeing how, you know, and just knowing that God would supply, but to be honest, we did not know at all how much God was going to supply, really just through the generosity of other people, not really even telling other people that it was going to be a difficult time, but you know, God allowed us to see more brought into our bank account than during the time she was off than if she was working. And just an absolutely amazing thing to see how God provided for our family while she was off. And just, we serve a great God. We serve a great God. And just going back over my life, I could share many, 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 many times how God has provided, just even financially, let alone other ways that God has provided. Does anyone else just have a testimony how God has provided for you on just your family, maybe recently, maybe even just something that happened a while ago? Does anyone have a testimony? Yes, Brother Ronnie in the back.
Yeah, I just want to thank the Lord for allowing me to go away for a few weeks and enjoy the company of Pastor James Lewis. Me and him spent 4 weeks together and had a great time in sunshine, warm Florida. And of course, today, you know, I brought some of that weather back with me.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Sure. You're welcome. No, just kidding. It wasn't me. But, thank the Lord for that. Anyway, God was good. He allowed me to go. And you talk about finances. Yeah, we worked it out together, me and my sweet wife here. So hopefully we're right on top of things. So, but God's been great. So.
Amen.
Thank everybody for their prayers.
Praise the Lord for the time that he gives us to be able to enjoy fellowship with other Christians, and so we praise the Lord for that. Pastor Belcher.
Yeah, a few weeks ago, a matter of fact, about a month ago, my sister fell in the parking lot at Whirlpool and broke her wrist, and it was a very serious break, And she had some difficulty getting a surgeon and so forth, but she was able to find a surgeon. She had the surgery, and now she is on the way to recovery. So we pray to the Lord for that.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's how he provides for our body to heal. You can definitely praise the Lord for his healing. We have Brother Mike over here in the corner.
I saw the next doctor today, and he said, I'm coming along fine. He says, so anyway, yeah, I'm doing okay.
Amen. Praise the Lord for that. It's always good to see praise you come Lord, and great. Play on the organ and be here. And we have Brother Kaufman in the back right there. And Brother George.
I'm grateful for this church and what it teaches. And it teaches the Bible. But I was asked to do chapel a while ago, maybe 2 weeks. And it was on my heart to talk about assurance of salvation. And Pastor Holmes and I had talked a couple years ago. And I felt when I got baptized for the second time, I had to explain why I was in the baptismal twice. And maybe nobody else wanted to know that, but I thought it was important to explain it. And then, you know, at Sarah's funeral, there was such a story about assurance of salvation that all these things we hear from the pulpit about, if you don't know Jesus, boy, don't leave in the same condition you came.
Yeah.
And this church reinforces that so much.
That's right.
And I'm glad to be a part of a church that's Spirit-filled and is assuring folks of their salvation, if that's what they want.
We have to remember that it's not we who build the church, it's God. And so when we look at the church that God has built, we need to be thankful for the church that he has provided. Amen. Dad.
I just praise God. Well, this might sound funny, but I just praise God that, you know, where we came from, we got a lot of snow, and over here you don't get that much. But I praise God for a quick winter. But I also praise God. Today I was at a friend's apartment, and I had my hat on, and it says Reformers Unanimous, talk, talk, talk. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine asked me what it was, and I told him, I said, no, you don't have to, you know. But his mother said that hopefully she'll be coming, so
amen.
Just pray for that. But it was a good thing to, you know, get to explain what it was.
Amen. You never know even the effects that a small logo on a hat can have. So praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. Does anyone else have a praise? Yes, we'll take this.
Yeah,
this
last I was in Defiance, Ohio, doing my job. I got opportunity to talk to a young man who was in a coma last summer. He'd wrecked his bike. And he was in a coma for a couple of weeks. And he'd come out and he's telling me all his stories about it. Anyway, there's a Catholic church right across the street. Huge, one of those beautiful churches with the cross right at the very top and other crosses. And he goes, you know, I probably should have been dead. And I go, well, someone doesn't want you quite yet. And that gave me that opportunity to start, you know, talking to him a little bit. But what I really wanted to mention today was, I get it. And I'm so grateful for getting it. Seeing the three crosses, I get it.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Can I go on real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick report on my daddy. He's doing so much better. Thank you for your prayers.
Amen.
He's in the second round of the infusion treatments. And he told me Sunday night, he said, Buster, I'm so excited. It's the first time since November that I got to go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And he was just ecstatic that he could do that. He still has the neuropathy, so he's had trouble with his feet. but he's doing way better than he was. So keep praying for him. He's itching. He preached the other day. He had to preach sitting down, and they helped him get to the chair, and it was just beautiful. And the church was glad to have him back, but boy, he's rip-raring to go. He wants to get back at it. So pray Amen. For him if you would. I love my daddy, and I want to see him back. So thank you for praying. I really appreciate it.
Amen. We've been praying for Brother Wire's dad for quite a while, and just it's praise the Lord again just to see the answered prayer and just to see, and to be honest, I think the greatest thing that's come out of that is this, just your father's testimony.
Yeah.
When a Christian goes through a tough time and has the testimony like your father does, it speaks more than many messages. And so we praise the Lord just for your dad's testimony with that. At this time, let's go ahead and have a time of prayer request. And so we'll, in just a moment, take some prayer requests from the congregation. We do have a couple that we would like you to pray for before we do that. First off, the first thing I have is Leslie Petrie would like to, all of us to pray for an important appointment, important doctor's appointment that she has on March 19th. And so if you could mark that down again, Leslie Petrie has an important doctor's appointment on March 19th, and she would like us to pray for that. Ben Thompson, one of our students and one of our teenagers, a great young man, is having surgery on his foot this coming Tuesday. And so we want to make sure we keep him in prayer. He has a long recovery ahead of him. He's going to be in a boot and not able to put any weight on his foot at all. And so he actually be out of school for a little while for that. And so we want to pray for quick healing, that the surgery will go well and that he'll be able to recover quickly and be able to get back to his pre-injured foot days. And so we'll pray for that. Then we also want to pray for Sharon Mendoza's mother, Donna Shaver. Most of you do know her. She'll be going to Toledo for an appointment to see if she'll be able to get a stent in her heart. And that's coming. That appointment's coming up soon. When is that appointment? Tomorrow morning. And so we want to pray for that. The appointment's tomorrow morning for Donna Shaver to go to Toledo to see if she'll be able to get a stent. And so we want to make sure that we pray for her in that appointment. We also do want to continue just prayer for Randy and Ronette and the family. Continue to pray for encouragement and help for them. And also continue to pray for Angie. And it was a beautiful service that we had here. We praise the Lord for what he did during that service. And we'll continue to pray for them. And then also we're going to be having an Easter play coming up. And we do want to pray that God will use it. And then God will work through it, and then we'll be able to see visitors come in and allow them to be able to hear the gospel and that pray that God will use it to see people saved. And so we want to make sure we lift that up in prayer. And as I mentioned earlier as well, we'll be starting our visitation program on the 17th of March. And I again ask you that you lift that up and just pray that God would bless our visitation and soul winning program this summer. Are there any prayer requests that we have from the congregation this evening? Yes, Dad.
Well, just keep in prayer. Sandy and I both are going for our first COVID vaccines tomorrow, so just prayer for no adverse reactions in any way.
Okay. Definitely be praying for that. Brother Darrell.
Yeah, if you will, pray for my brother. They're leaving Saturday to go back to Minnesota. His one test did come back, and it is positive, so they're going down to meet with the doctors and get it taken care of. So please pray for travel mercy and the surgery goes well.
Okay. And can you remind me of your brother's name again?
Randy.
Randy. It's on the tip of my tongue, but I couldn't remember it.
Brother Charles?
Yes.
I have one for the church as well. If we could pray for the Tooleys.
Yes.
They have been having more and more medical difficulties, more and more severe medical difficulties. Brother Tooley had an episode on Monday where he ended up back in the ER. Mrs. Tooley had an episode today. They're both okay tonight, but just seems to be happening with some greater frequency. So if we could just pray for Guy and Mrs. Tooley, I know that they'd really appreciate that.
Amen. We appreciate the Tooleys and just their faithfulness over many, many, many years. Just a great family who loves the Lord. Brother Sam.
Fire destroyed a vehicle at our daughter's house this morning. Thank God nobody was injured or hurt. Pray that the insurance takes care of it.
Okay, and we'll definitely pray for that. Praise the Lord that no one was hurt. Praise the Lord for that. Anyone else have a prayer request this evening? Kayla Kaufman?
If we could pray for my sister, Kimberly. She's been having severe migraines for the last year and a half, and they can't figure out why. She's a teacher, and she'll go a couple days with not being able to do anything and just sleep. And she's tried many things. So just pray that they can get to the bottom of it.
Definitely be praying for her. She's up in the foreign country of Michigan teaching at a school. So we'll pray for her in that foreign battlefield. All right. Anyone else have a prayer request this evening before we go to prayer? All right, at this time, I encourage you to find someone to pray with. And then in just a moment, I will come back and close us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, Lord, we thank you for being a God who hears. Lord, being a God who listens and who answers prayer. And Lord, allows us to come freely before your throne. Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to, as a church, to pray and lift up each one another's burdens. Lord, right now, as we look through our prayer list, we look through the burdens that our church does have, and Lord, there's so many people here who have, Lord, something, an issue with health, Lord. And Lord, we look through and we pray for just the appointment with Leslie. We pray for Ben, and we think about Angie, and we think about Chuck and Sandy Kaufman, and we think about Randy and the Tooleys and my sister-in-law, Kim. Lord, we lift, Lord, each of them up. Lord, I pray that, Lord, in each of those situations and each of those people, Lord, that your healing touch will come upon them. Lord, that you'll give wisdom to the doctors. Lord, you have peace to each person. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you will just give encouragement to the Skaggs family, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will be with Sam with his daughter and just the house and the house fire and the car fire. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you allow everything to be worked out, and I praise the Lord that no one was hurt. And Lord, we do pray that, Lord, as Easter is coming up, Lord, that you will bless in the preparation, Lord, for the play, but I pray that we'll be able to see visitors come, Lord, and people come and be able to hear the gospel. Lord, we know that your word will not return void. And Lord, we do also pray for our visitation program and our soul winning this summer. Lord, I do pray that you will do a mighty work this summer and allow each one of us as members of the Harvest Baptist Temple, Lord, to be burdened for our neighbors. Lord, I pray that we will be able to see many people hear the gospel. Lord, we will see many people come to know you as their Savior. And Lord, I pray again that, Lord, you know each one of these situations. You know each one of these requests, Lord, in absolute perfection. You know every single detail. And Lord, I pray for all of these requests that your will be done, and Lord, that you will give us peace and joy throughout all of these times. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, church, for praying. If you're happy you're saved tonight, would you say amen? Amen. Grab your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to continue our thought that we began last Wednesday night, the idea of pursuing peace. You know, perfect peace is available to you and I who know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Yes, in the time of COVID. Yes, in the time of unrest. Yes, in the time of many, many, many unanswered questions. Perfect peace is available to you and I who know and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We're discovering how you and I can have that. So, of course, last week we talked about control issues. Learning and thinking, recognizing what belonged to me. What doesn't belong to me? After all, I am not God. Amen? And there are certain things that belong to him and only him. Tonight, we're going to look at another facet of this idea of pursuing peace, and that is this idea of contentment. So Philippians chapter 4, probably one of the great passages on this. We're going to read together verses 10 through 19. If you would, stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's word. The Bible says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me having flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed to be both full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction.
Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things that which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Would you read verse 19 in unison together with me? The Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Father, in these brief moments, I ask that you have your will, have your way. Father, give us an attentive heart tonight on this Wednesday night of this busy week. Give us an attentive heart to that which you would have for us. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at Philippians, it's important for us to understand that this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to this church at Philippi is a practical, positive book about how you and I can have real joy and peace no matter our circumstances. Now, in our passage tonight, Paul is emphasizing how a life of joy and peace will be marked by this thing called contentment. Now, in today's climate, would you agree with me that contentment is spoken of by few, and contentment is lived by even fewer? In fact, discontentment almost seems to be a way of life. You get a phone, and it's not but a week or two or month later that there's a new edition of the phone. You get a car, and you're happy until you ride in Bill Brown's car home from the airport. Sometimes it's stuff. How many of us have ever looked at ourselves and looked at somebody else and said, "Boy, I wish they were as smart as them. Boy, I wish I was athletic as them. Boy, I wish I had." And we look at ourselves, we look at our personality, and we're just discontent. How many of us have looked at where we're at and been discontent with where we're at? I'm going to tell you, I've done that probably quite a bit during COVID. Spent a lot of time in quarantine in November and December. I cannot say I was always content with where I was. How many of us have longed for the day when everything just gets back to normal? That's where we want to be. Discontentment, in many ways, almost seems to be a way of life. But you know, discontentment is like drinking ocean water. It doesn't matter how much you get, because it will never really satisfy your heart's desire. But we as believers, we as followers of Jesus Christ, are called to live lives of contentment. Let me show you a couple of verses. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Paul here is writing to Timothy, his protege. He says this, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Verse number 7, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." How many of you have food in your homes? How many of you have eaten at least once today? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, because I can say with absolute certainty that all of you have clothes on tonight. And so if we have all eaten and we are all clothed, the biblical admonition for the follower of Jesus Christ is to be content. You know, you look at the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and what does he advise us to pray for? Matthew 6 and verse number 8, he says, "Give us this day our..." You know, as we pursue peace, we find in these verses that Paul gives us, he lays out how we can develop, learn contentment, and with it, one of the greatest keys to a life of satisfaction and peace. And I want us to take note tonight and remember that as we go through this and we learn from the Apostle Paul that he writes about peace and he writes about contentment from his nasty, rat-infested, filth-filled, disease-ridden Roman prison cell. And he picks up his pen and he writes about contentment. So, Paul, how is it that we can learn to be content? Let's look at what he says here. Start unpacking beginning in verse number 10. The Bible says this. Paul wrote, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. But now at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful but lacked opportunity." He said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Here's how we learn to be content. Number one, like the Apostle Paul, we learn that in Christ I can accept all things. In Christ, I can accept all things. How many of us know that our positions in this life change? You know, Paul intimately knew the extremes that life can produce. The man who is now in a nasty prison cell was once caught up to the third heaven. The man who was buffeted by the messenger of Satan was the man who was privileged to go around the known world to preach the gospel, to plant churches, to see men and women saved, to see fruit that remained and went on to bear fruit. Paul intimately knew the extremes that this life can produce. And Paul says, like a river, I have learned how to be abased, how to run low. I know how to abound. That means when a river overflows its banks. But the reality is, you know, both when we run low and when we overflow can threaten our peace and contentment. Many have succumbed to lives of adversity, but probably more have fallen prey to lives of abundance. For when we overflow, how often in our hearts are we like the church of Laodicea, when we look at our life and we look at the Lord and say, "Because I am rich and increased with good and have need of nothing." And we have no idea how needy we really are. So Paul says the key to contentment, learning to be content, involves learning that in Christ I can accept all things. Because our positions will change, but his provision is constant. Our positions in life will change. We'll be up, we'll be down, we'll be all around, but his provision for life is constant. You know, we never can truly have long-term contentment from our circumstances, because like the tide, our external position is always changing. Where I am today is not where I will be tomorrow. And some days I wake up and have bad days for no reason at all. Anybody else? And so if I am drawing my peace from my circumstances, when I'm up, I'm up, and when I'm down, I'm down, and I am a victim to the position of life. And so we never truly can have long-term commitment, long-term or contentment, long-term peace from our external circumstances. Because though our position changes, but his provision is constant. And Paul here makes it very clear that while there are highs and lows in every life, believers ought not ride with the tides. We are not at the mercy of our circumstances, but we are in the hand of our Creator. Amen. And so contentment is that inner confidence that allows me to accept all the things that God's hand sends my way. Because contentment recognizes that God is good. And therefore that all that God lovingly allows to come my way will be used for good and His glory. A verse we referenced earlier, Psalm 34 and verse number 8, reminds us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth, has confidence in Him. And so this inward confidence, this inward faith, provides contentment and peace. I think a great illustration of this is nature. And to understand that much of nature depends on hidden resources to maintain. You think of where a tree and a plant, it derives its nourishment, a lot of it from the roots. From those hidden resources that we can't see with our human eye. And yet it's those hidden resources that give the tree its strength. It's the hidden resources of the melting snow on the mountain that feeds the stream. I think one of the most beautiful examples of this, and I've used it a couple of times, is the blue hole that's actually in Castalia. You know, if you've known anything about it, it's fairly steady. It's roughly, I got it here, 48 degrees temperature throughout the year. It's the same depth. It's the same size. Floods have no effect on it. Droughts have no effect on it. What is it that allows this thing to maintain throughout extremes of external circumstances? It's because the blue hole does not draw its strength, does not draw its depth, does not draw its temperature from its surroundings. The blue hole is fed by a passing underground stream that discharges over 7 million gallons of water every day. And here's Paul's secret. Here's our secret. I'm not drawing my temperature from the world, from the highs and from the lows, from the floods and from the droughts. I'm not drawing my level and my temperature by all of the things that are happening around me. I get to, like the blue hole, draw on something deeper. Like Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse number 9, he said unto me, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, and in distresses. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So learning contentment is learning this, that in Christ, I can accept all things, because while my position will change, His provision, that which I draw off of for my strength and my joy and my peace, is constant. Positions change. Provision is constant. And so we learn contentment. Number one, that in Christ I can accept all things. Look how Paul continues to develop this, picking up in verse number 13. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, that no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So not only does Paul here point out in the element of contentment that I can in Christ accept all things, but he also points out here, verses 13 through 15, that in the Lord Jesus Christ, I can accomplish all things. Verse number 13 and forward that we just read, I can do all things, how they communicated with him in his distress. You understand this, the problems that we face in this life will change. As we live for Jesus Christ, we will still experience problems and opposition. How many of us know that to be true? We have the same health problems that the unsaved world does. We have some of the same interpersonal problems that the unsaved world does. We experience some of the same financial setbacks that the unsaved world does. We experience some of the same fear and discouragement that the unsaved world does. We experience problems. And Paul experienced problems. And that's an understatement. When he was in Philippi, you'll remember, he was beaten and thrown in jail. When he left Philippi, he went to Thessalonica, where he faced riots. When he left Thessalonica, he went to Berea, where he was followed by those people and faced persecution. You go to like Corinthians and you read the list of things that Paul went through, how he was beaten and stoned and shipwrecked and all of these other crazy things. Paul went through some real difficulties. He faced obstacles in his ministry. He faced obstacles in his personal life with that thorn in the flesh and other issues. He faced obstacles in his interpersonal life. He even mentions here that other than the church of Philippi, he had all been but forgotten from a financial care standpoint by the other churches. You know, problems were a constant in the life of the Apostle Paul. Remember, he writes this from the nasty, rat-infested Roman prison. This is what Paul's teaching us. This is what Paul has learned. That our problems change, but his provision is constant. Our problems change, but his provision is constant. Because contentment and peace is not the absence of problems or opposition. If contentment and peace was the absence of problems and opposition, then we really never really could have contentment and peace in this life. Because how many of us know when there isn't any problems, when there isn't any opposition, that's when we get in our own way and create our own drama. It seems we can't hardly live a day without drama. And so if we had to have an absence of all of that, we could never really have contentment and peace. But what Paul had learned is that in each task, in each problem, that the provision of Christ, the empowerment of Christ, enabled him to meet each day for what it brought. That's why right after he said that I can accept all things, he said within that context, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul said that he could be, he could bear, he could do all things in Christ because in Christ he knew he would be equal to the task. In other words, the key to this aspect of contentment is not self-sufficiency, but God-dependency. It's not a self-sufficiency, but a God-dependency. You know, different people handle problems different ways. But it seems that one of the ways that much of the world wants to handle problems in order to try to gain some sort of element or control over their issues is that they really want to detach themselves from the issues or even detach themselves from their emotions. You know, one of the Greek philosophies back in the day was that of Stoicism. And that was the idea that these vivid emotions, these pleasures and these joys and all of these different swings, the highs and the lows that Paul talked of earlier, how basically they were the things to be avoided. They were the things to work out of your life. And so these Stoics would go through all of these different steps to try to basically numb themselves emotionally, kill off their emotions, a detachment from the things of this life. Some of them even to the point where the pinnacle, I'm not trying to be gross, but the pinnacle of this detachment would involve the strangling of certain animals. And if they could do that without emotion, well then they had reached their goal. But church, contentment and peace is not found in detachment from life, but in our attachment to Christ. You'll remember Jesus' example that he gave of the vine and the branches in John 15 and verse number 5, where he reminds us that he's the vine and we're the branches. That the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, and without him we can do nothing. And here's what Paul's teaching, that we don't need to face any trial because he will walk through the fire with us. We don't need to fear any temptation, for he will make a way to escape. We don't need to fear any stronghold of the devil, for the Lord is mighty to pull them down. And we don't need to fear the future, for he has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Because in Christ, we are always, always, always enabled to the task that he has given us to do. And so we find contentment, a confidence, a peace, in that though our problems change, his provision is constant. So how do we learn contentment? Number one, we learn in Christ we can do what? Number one, in Christ we can accept all things. Because though our position changes, his provision is constant. Number two, we learn that in Christ we can accomplish all things. Because though our problems change, his provision is constant. Look with me at this last thing that the Apostle Paul drives home, beginning in verse number 16. He says, "For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." I want you to see what he says in verse number 18. He says, "But I have all and abound." Where is he? "But I have all and abound." Where is he? "But I have all and abound." Where is he? Man, I get out of my heated house, get in my heated car, come to my office and the job and the ministry the Lord has provided, and go home to the family and the kids the Lord has graciously provided, and they ask the question, "How was your day?" And I go, "Hey, it's all right." And yet Paul from says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." And then he says to them, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So this thing of contentment that brings those elements of perfect peace into our heart, it starts, number one, by recognizing in Christ that I can what? I can accept all things. What is it? Number one, say it with me. I can accept all things. Paul continues. He says, in Christ, number two, I can. And this is where he leaves us. Roman numeral 3, he says, in Christ, I currently abound in all things. How is it that I can develop a heart of contentment and gain that heart of peace? By learning that I not only can accept all things, and I can not only do all things, but that in Christ, I currently, right now, right where I sit, right where I stand, I currently abound in all things. You know, we've talked about it, we've alluded to it, I'll say it again. The picture of this life changes. You know, where we are right now is not where we're going to be tomorrow, but let me give you this aspect of it. God is doing something today that'll get brought to light tomorrow. God is developing something in these days that'll get brought to fullness later. And so Paul is admonishing them here, don't confuse his situation with God's supply. Now, where was Paul? Prison. Did Paul have needs? Did Paul have needs? Did Paul have big needs? Paul was in prison. Yes, Paul had needs, but he looked at this church and he wasn't just blowing spiritual smoke. He wasn't just getting out of the car after having a fight with his spouse and yelling at his kids. And he wasn't getting out of the car going, "I am blessed and highly favored. How are you, brother?" He looked at this church and he said, "You need to understand, in Christ, I have all and abound." In other words, Paul had learned contentment in realizing that God had provided everything we need for our present fulfillment. Beloved, where you sit, whether you're here in the sanctuary, whether you're watching at home by Facebook and radio, where you sit, you have everything you need to have a heart of perfect peace. You have everything you need to live a life of contentment. Isaiah 41 and verse number 10. The Lord says, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Christian, in Christ, we have everything we need to be perfectly content, to be perfectly at peace within. Paul pointed out that their sacrifice had become a spiritual investment on their behalf. Paul admonished them not to judge the picture by what they saw, but to understand what God was doing, working behind the scenes. Again, it's not always easy. Our positions change. We go up and down. We're full and hungry. Our problems change. But to understand that God is working in and through it all, and that God's not wasting what is happening. God is answering prayers, and God is using teachers, and God is using the radio ministry, and God is using our Awana program, and God is using Golden Apples to get the scriptures out, and He's using the radio, and God is using the bus, and God is using all of these different things. I'm going to tell you, we're going to go through this life and the picture is going to change 1,000 times. And sometimes we're going to be able to see great, very clearly what God is doing. Sometimes we'll be able to look back years later and see what God has done. Sometimes we will scratch our heads for as long as God allows us to walk on this earth and not understand a thing about what He intends. But to have the confidence, to have that inner confidence and faith that though the picture changes, His provision is constant, is what allows our hearts to have that perfect peace, to have that contentment. And you see what Paul told them in verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Consider this, that this is a personal, "my God," positive, "shall supply," pointed, "all your need," plentiful, "according to His riches," powerful, "by Christ Jesus," promise in the Word of God. And if we have this level of confidence in God, that though our position changed, His provision is constant. That though our problems change, His provision is constant. That though the picture seems to be changing, His provision is constant. If we have that level of confidence in God, do you know what we will find we have learned? To be content. To be content. To be content. It is the calm confidence that your need, whether it's financial, physical, emotional, spiritual, that your need will never exceed His supply. And when we truly have that confidence,
we can truly have contentment and peace. So it's understanding in Christ, I can accept all things. You know what? The position that a lot of people are in today is not an easy position, but in Christ, we can accept all things. You know, some of the problems we face are big. They're ugly. But to understand that in Christ, I can do all things.
That's right.
You know, some of the needs we're looking at are great. But to understand that in Christ, I currently abound in all things. Because the secret to contentment and peace is confidence in Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, that's the one issue that boils down to. Is Jesus Christ enough for you to have an inward calm and confidence that you can accept all things, that you can accomplish all things, and that you can abound in all things? Is he enough? Is he enough? I'm going to tell you, he is.
Amen.
He is. But our discontentment finds its source in one of two places. We either lack recognition of what we have. We say, but we have here 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But what are they among so many? When God's going everything you need to get the job done. So it's a lack of recognition, or it's a lack of reception. Like when the prophet told Naaman, go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. And Naaman said, I don't want to do that. It's not that he didn't have everything he needed. It's he didn't want to receive everything he needed. The secret of contentment in Christ is not getting what you want, but recognizing what you have. And I'm going to tell you, our world is grasping at all sorts of things to find peace and fulfillment. But the entertainers are not finding it in their fame and in their fortune. The millionaires are not finding it in their money. The politicians are not finding it in their power. And hear me, the wicked are not finding it in their perversion. But there is perfect peace available. There is perfect peace available. And it's found in contentment. Biblical, God-honoring contentment. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time and your word tonight. Lord, in a world that has no peace, help us to see the peace you desire us to have.